And we'll take up the final case on the docket this morning. Garrett R. Whiting versus City of Charlottesville Fire and Rescue. Mr. Kernbach and Mr. Witt.
Yes.
And do you need rebuttal time, sir?
Yes, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes.
Certainly.
Good morning. My name is Michael Kernbach, and I have the pleasure of representing Garrett Whiting, who is a firefighter with the City of Charlottesville Police Department. This case presents sort of a complicated mix of statutory construction issues as well as the interpretation of something that's sort of foreign in our statutes, and that is the reliance upon a third-party standard to establish whether or not somebody has a presumptive cancer. And so the facts are really not all that much in dispute. The case was filed in time. Mr. Whiting has prostate cancer. He met essentially all of the requirements of the code section, except when you get to the code section's last sentence, and that is whether or not the substances which he was exposed to causes cancer or is suspected to cause cancer. And therein lies the problem. If it's a true presumption, then relying upon the beginning part of the statute, as long as he is exposed to those substances that are listed on the IARC monograph, you've made the connection and you've supplied the missing legal requirement that the disease arises out of and within the scope of his employment. Otherwise, you can't prove anything. You can't prove heart disease. You can't prove hypertension. You can't prove lung disease. None of it makes any difference because the medical science just isn't there. So the General Assembly, by virtue of making sort of a political decision, has awarded these workers' compensation benefits to firefighters. The problem is that when you read the statute, I'm not quite sure what they're referring to in terms of which standard requires this, the causes or suspected to cause cancer. The IARC monograph doesn't tell you what causes cancer. You have to go through other sections in the monograph to find a very short list of cancers, of which prostate cancer is there. The substances are arranged in Category 1, Category 2, and Category 3. And Category 3, they don't know. Category 1, there's a strong relationship. Category 2, it's suspected.
And even as to the 1, they don't seem to speak directly to, in the terms of the statute anyway.
Right.
I mean, maybe you can extrapolate and say, well, that's the strongest link known, and so that satisfies causation. But it doesn't say, if you smoke for 20 years, 3 packs a day, then that causes lung cancer or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't tell you that if you're exposed to, for instance, benzene, all right, it doesn't tell you there that benzene is a suspected cause of leukemia. You have to look elsewhere. And added to this problem was when the full commission got this case, apparently, in their opinion, they went online to look at the IARC monograph.
I kind of have to.
I know, but I, as an attorney, I can't compete with a judicial tribunal doing research off the record and then writing their opinion when I don't know what they looked at. I suspect I know what they looked at because I looked at it myself, and that resulted in my brief being rather lengthy because I had to put in these exhibits about what you find in the IARC monograph.
Thoroughness is fine.
I understand that, and I try to adhere to the page requirements and the word requirements, but my brief sort of turned out to be almost a phone book when you add in all these exhibits. But in any event, so the issue really becomes, is this a presumption or is it not a presumption? If it isn't a presumption, then just tell us, and I know that I have to go back to the General Assembly to fix it. But if that last sentence does not give proper effect to what the intent of the General Assembly was, because at the beginning of the code section, they said, this is a presumption. And as a matter of statutory construction, this court, as well as the Supreme Court of Virginia, has jettisoned certain language from code sections, which is either surplusage or it doesn't make any sense to give full effect to the statute. I cited to the Vicki Barker case in Commonwealth of Virginia, which was one of my cases, where the offending code section says, as the case may be. And the Commonwealth and I stood before the Supreme Court and said, said, nobody knows what that means. At least here we know that it causes or suspected to cause cancer. But I don't know what the reference point is. If it's the IARC monograph, then it's not in there. If it's something else, a physician, then the problem is exactly what my able counsel has objected to, and that is it's my duty and obligation to find a physician who may link up exposures to certain types of substances to cause cancers. But that's a very difficult proposition.
It's certainly very different in the nature of the undertaking than just pointing to this monograph and then that's game over.
Exactly. For years, we've been using the monograph as sort of the baseline to say, look, I've been exposed to cadmium, I have a cancer, boom, I get the presumption. Now, all of a sudden, the deputy commissioner and the full commission, setting aside the Beam case, has decided, no, we're going to give full force to the last phrase in this code section, which essentially vitiates the entire meaning of the statute. And then finally, my client, Garrett Whiting, identified two substances, cadmium and malathion, which are implicated in the development of prostate cancer. It doesn't say it causes it. It may be suspected to cause it, but it's not found in the body of the monograph. It's found in a separate section that they made up online saying, oh, by the way, here's a list of cancers, and we're going to try to link up certain substances. In the Beam case, they listed a whole bunch of substances, but not benzene. But Mrs. Beam was lucky enough to find a physician who says exposure to benzene causes breast cancer. That's fine. But again, I can't scour the landscape of the Commonwealth of Virginia trying to find a physician.
Even then, the deputy commissioner and the commission doesn't have to buy the physician's. I mean, you may have the physician who says X, and then the defense either attacks that credibility or produces their own physician, and then it's up to them to figure out who's correct.
Absolutely. And once the full commission decides on the issues of credibility and which physicians they're going to believe, you're in dead water, because I can't come to this court to ask you to look behind whether or not my physician had more credibility or not. I simply cannot attack the medicine head on. So the problem is exactly what we're facing here, and that is, what do we do with this code section? What is the evidence sufficient to give the full effect of what the General Assembly intended? Right now, none of the cases can go forward until, as a matter of statutory construction, this court examines the issue and you decide whether or not the language really shouldn't be considered because it doesn't give full effect to the statute, or whether or not in this particular case, Mr. Whiting identified two substances which the full commission ignored. If there's no other questions, I'll turn it over to my able counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Ralph Witt for the city of Charlottesville. The commission in this case applied the correct standard under Section 65.2-402C, and they made certain factual findings that the claimant's evidence failed to meet the requirements under Section C to have the presumption applied. And the party stipulated that without the presumption, this claim would fail. Mr. Kernbach argues that the last sentence and the application by the commission of the last sentence, that is, the requirement that set forth clearly in the statute that the claimant prove occupational exposure not only to substances that are categorized as carcinogens, but to go further and prove that those carcinogens cause or are suspected of causing the cancer in question. That's the language the General Assembly expressly put in the statute.
All these monographs, I mean, take it outside of this case. I'm just trying to figure out how this would, I mean, because it may well be with a particular kind of cancer, the medicine just isn't there in terms of figuring out the causal links. But take lung cancer. Where, I mean, is there something that these monographs actually help us sort out? Or,
sure.
Or do we have a statute that's basically a dead letter?
No, I think clearly the monographs have their place. I think it's part of the evidentiary puzzle and the part of the evidence that needs to be produced. The problem is Mr. Kernbach is attempting to elevate the IARC monograph, these studies, as the end-all and be-all. It's not. The Beam case, I think, illustrates that what the commission really is looking for is the presentation of medical opinions that are credible and competent in a particular case. They're looking for opinions from the treating physicians and maybe from other experts. They're not looking for opinions in an IARC monograph or in one of the 100
volumes.
Well,
what do we make then of the specific statutory provision that gives a role to those monographs?
Okay, the role of the IARC monographs is to identify carcinogens. So that's the role, clearly. And that satisfies the first of two elements required under 402C. The IARC monograph, however, does not necessarily play a role in the second element, and that is that the claimant must prove that those carcinogens are caused or are suspected of causing the cancer in question.
So and, really, what does the work of this presumption? Because if you say cause, then what's the point of having the presumption? But if it's suspected of causing, that sort of carries the water and dilutes the burden of proof for the claimant. Is that correct?
It does. And by the way, just to mention, the General Assembly also saw fit to present other obstacles to a claimant in a cancer presumption case to even get the presumption. There have to be 12 years of continuous exposure or service as a firefighter. So the General Assembly clearly wanted to present requirements and elements that a claimant had to prove, obstacles, that if they could then overcome it, they would then get the presumption. What the Commission is looking for are opinions from the experts in the case. And that's what happened in the Beam case. In the Beam case, the claimant was exposed to benzene and had breast cancer. The IARC monographs in volumes 1 through 100 don't necessarily link benzene to breast cancer. But the doctors did. And the commission said, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for evidence that links either as a cause or as a suspected cause of the particular cancer in question. And we're looking for that from the experts and the medical experts in the case. Here, the claimant didn't even focus on cadmium and malathion at the hearing. The claimant never testified to any exposure to cadmium and malathion. The claimant's attorney presented questionnaire after questionnaire to the treating physician and focused entirely on diesel fumes, gasoline fumes, and other biomass fumes, never once presenting to the treating physician the question of, is cadmium and malathion, if he was exposed to this, is that a cause or suspected cause?
And if that had been done, what would have been the consequence?
Well, we would have heard the answer from the expert. He would have said, yes, I think it was a cause or a suspected cause, and then we would have to respond and either present contrary evidence, or he would have said, no, it's not a cause or a suspected cause. And then Mr. Kernbach would have to go and present evidence from another expert.
What role would the monographs have played with regard to those substances?
I beg your pardon?
What role would the monographs have played with regard to those substances?
I can't answer that. I think it depends on what the medical experts think of the monographs. I've presented monographs to experts, and they look at it and they go, I'm sorry, I don't agree that these substances cause
this particular cancer. So your position is, with these monographs, that's just part of the evidentiary mix.
It is.
That the commission can, I mean, you don't dispute the commission can consider that, maybe in assessing the credibility of the medical testimony, but it's not dispositive.
It's not. And again, the IARC monographs do expressly under the statute dictate what's a carcinogen and what's not. What they don't dictate is whether that carcinogen is capable of causing that particular
cancer. So in other words, one time you were exposed to benzene for this limited time period when you were wearing your breathing apparatus, well, that's not causation. On the other hand, you're constantly running out to these benzene fires and your breathing apparatus, either you don't have one or it's defective, so over that protracted exposure, there's the causal link, something like that.
Absolutely correct. And right. That needs, the factual detail of each case is going to be different. That needs to be presented to the medical experts. They need to then render an opinion. That was never done in this case. And in fact, the entire theory of this case has changed from the hearing to this appeal, the focus being on completely different elements.
If the commission had looked at this and done the opposite of what it did, if it had looked at the IARC monograph, which you say they can consider, and had said, we think it did indicate that it was either caused or suspect that it caused prostate cancer, should we defer to that decision of the commission?
I think there were
no medical testimony.
I think in this particular case, given your hypothetical, it's going to depend. If the commission relied on studies that conclude, for example, that diesel fumes cause prostate cancer, clearly the claimant focused on diesel fumes. There was testimony of exposure to diesel fumes. It was uncontested that he was exposed to diesel fumes. Your Honor, I think this court and the commission could do that, and it would not be error. They could say we've looked at
these studies in addition to the IARC monitoring.
I think that's true.
But not necessarily medical testimony.
Yeah, I think they could. They prefer medical testimony, but in this case, we have medical testimony, but it has nothing to do with cadmium and malathion. The claimant never testified to exposure to that. All he testified to was I was given a list of, you know, hundreds of chemicals by my attorney, and I was asked to check which chemicals I believed I could have possibly been exposed to on the job. So I went and marked an X by literally dozens of them. Never testified that he was actually exposed to that, how he was exposed, the duration, the amount, the frequency. If he had, I think the commission could have worked with that, even with the IR monographs and the volumes.
Counsel, let me
referring the experts look at that.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you before you finish the sentence, sir. Is it your contention then that for the claimant to have the benefit of the presumption, it has to be more than the IARC monitor? It has to be the IARC monitor plus medical testimony, not to prevail now, but just to have the presumption.
I think so, and the reason for that is, again, the Beam case gives us a little bit of insight. The commission said there that the expert opinion controlled, even though the IARC monograph didn't support that. And I think that's something the commission's going to have to weigh. I'm not saying they can never rely on the IARC monographs, the volumes. I think to rely solely and exclusively on a study published by an organization in the absence of any other opinion or commentary by any medical provider or expert, I think that causes me some trouble.
Even if it's just for a presumption, not to prevail necessarily, but for a presumption.
I do, because clearly the General Assembly put the burden of proof on the claimant to get the presumption to prove that he was exposed to substances that caused or were suspected of causing his cancer. That has to be addressed by evidence in the case. Not only evidence of the exposure, which we really don't have here, but evidence of cause or suspected of causing. And I think that's got to be addressed by providers, medical experts, and if we're going to decide these cases based on some study that, by the way, was never introduced into evidence. The volumes 1 through 110 were never introduced into evidence. The commission didn't have those volumes at the time. We didn't have the volumes at the time. And it wouldn't have mattered because the claimant never asserted any expressed exposure to cadmium or malathion. So that whole theory, which is really what we're here on today, was not the theory of the case at the hearing and on appeal to the full commission. And I don't think the claimant at this late date on appeal can change his whole theory and say that exposure is sufficient and argue that and really make that allegation almost for the first time on appeal. Thank you. We ask that the opinion of the full commission be affirmed for those reasons.
All right. Thank you for your argument. You have more than 3 minutes.
I'll try to keep it within five then. Let me say this. The statute itself under 402C does not require any quantitative evidence or qualitative evidence. It says what it says. 12 years of continuous service, exposures to substances listed in the IARC monograph, and you get the benefit of the presumption except for that last phrase. That's it. And all we're trying to do here is to get the benefit of the presumption. And then it's up to the employer to rebut the presumption under Bass and the other Supreme Court cases that they have to provide competent medical evidence that says that work was not the cause of the cancer. I guarantee this honorable court that if I brought a firefighter here and told you that his exposure to cheese was the cause of his prostate cancer and that cheese was not a listed cancer-causing substance in the IARC monograph, you'd laugh me out of the court. But he did identify substances by annotating volume, I believe it was 105 of the IARC monograph. We can't possibly put in 1 through 110 because each one of them evolve over the years. They change the monograph every couple of years and they assign a new volume number to it. We're up to, I think, 109 or 100 and whatever it is now, but to put in the entire body of the monographs going back 15 or 20 years, it would fill up several cardboard boxes. That's not what the statute requires. It just says the IARC monograph. It doesn't even tell you what volume.
I mean, and how easy are these to keyword search and whatever else?
Well, the practice is that as a commentary, you give the IARC monograph to the firefighter, you ask him to identify the substances that he believes he was exposed to during the course of his firefighting career. That was done at this case, and it was submitted as evidence. Right? And what happens is sometimes they link up, for instance, a house fire or a chemical fire or a fire at a drugstore with all kinds of paint and solvents and things that they may be exposed to. You go on the monograph, you see what benzene is a component of, and you link it up. Sometimes they say, oh, I was at this chemical fire, which was a benzene plant, and they annotate it. That's what he did here. That's what's in the evidence. But to suggest, as Mr. Witt suggests, that I need more than that, well, that's for another day. We didn't get the presumption because the deputy commissioner and the full commission says we didn't satisfy the preconditions to get the benefit of the presumption. That's why we're here. Now, whether or not I ultimately prevail or not, it may require remanding the case back to the full commission if you find that the full commission was in error as a matter of statutory construction. And that's really what we're here about. But I agree with Mr. Witt that there's all kinds of medical evidence and medical opinions that you can elicit, but it's not, we're not here at that point in the case. We're here about whether or not I satisfied the preconditions necessary to get the benefit of the presumption which supplies the missing nexus, that his prostate cancer arises out of and within the scope of his employment as a firefighter with the city of Charlottesville. If there are no other questions, I thank the court for their attention.
No, thank you both for your thorough briefs and thoughtful arguments. We'll come down and greet counsel, and then the court will stand adjourned.